In this week's episode of Strange Pathways, we dive into three spine-tingling tales. First, meet individuals targeted by men in black posing as IRS agents. Why would they take this guise? Next, follow friends encountering a tall, spindly cryptid repeatedly. Is it a creature from folklore or something more sinister? Last, a hospice nurse witnesses a soul leaving the body. What secrets do these fleeting moments hold? Join us as we navigate these enigmatic stories, reminding you that sometimes the strangest pathways reveal the most profound mysteries. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Strange Pathways. I'm your host, Scott Mort. I hope you've had a fantastic week. It's been a bit of a rough one. I'm sure a few of you noticed there was a drop-off of the Whispers in the Darkness, the green text thing that I'm doing. So let me explain what happened here. On Wednesday, we got a note from our insurance agency. Ariana and I, we recently changed insurances. And unfortunately, the way I keep my house is not good enough for my insurance agency. The other insurance agency was fine with it, but they want us to add a banister. No big deal. They want us to fix the roof over the porch. Definitely needs it. All things I understand. The shrubs by my house have to go. The ivy that has been climbing the walls has to go. So many of my plants. And I love having nice, luscious plants around my house. So many of them have to go, and it is breaking my heart. Just taking like a handful of ivy that I've grown for 8 years, bought seeds on eBay, and just tearing it off the wall. Seeing the paint come with it in some instances. And yeah, they do want us to paint only one side of the house. It's going to be a lot to do. And thankfully I do have some funds that will allow me to get it done, but I am doing a lot of it myself. It is very, very frustrating. And very, very heartbreaking. But I have to keep reminding myself that Ariana and I have no intentions of staying in Johnstown. The city has taken, quite honestly, a really, really bad turn here in the last couple of years. I want to move back to the woods. Ariana wants to move back to the woods. That's our goal. And whatever I have to do to make that goal happen, I'm going to do. So if that does mean taking that little Garden of Eden that I have made in my yard so that whenever I walk through it, it does feel like a forest, taking that and raising it to the ground. Sometimes you have to sacrifice to get what you want. And unfortunately, here I am at that point again. Here I am at that point again. But there are some good things happening in my life. First and foremost, a very, very good friend of mine, Christopher Garcia. Christopher Garcia has recently put out his new book, Food and Crime, Theft, Poisoning, and Murder for Food. You can find it on Amazon. The Kindle version is just $16.99. If you want a hardcover version for yourself, $34.95. And I'm telling you, I'm going to order one here once I get done with this and have some time to read. But man, it is going to be amazing. I cannot wait for this. I've read Christopher Garcia's Hugo Award-winning magazines online. Absolutely incredible. Please do yourself a favor. Go out and get your own copy of Food and Crime, Theft and Poisoning and Murder for Food. You will not be disappointed. It's going to be a great, great read. Secondly, I was going through my local Harbor Freight today, buying many, many tools in preparation for the raising of my garden. And I bumped into a lady wearing a Kecksburg t-shirt. Well, lo and behold, her husband, Joe, was making wonderful cryptozoological paranormal t-shirts. And I definitely want to throw this out there. www.cryptoteology.com. Cryptoteology.com. I'll be sure to have a link down below. Some of the most amazing designs. Absolutely, absolutely gorgeous designs. Please go check them out. Turned out he's the gentleman throwing Squonkapalooza. I thought I was going to get to go to Squonkapalooza, maybe even get a vendor's booth. Unfortunately, as life has thrown some stuff at me, I will no longer be able to do that. Hopefully I can steal an hour or two and maybe just walk around. But at this point, it doesn't really look that way. But Squonkapalooza is going to be this weekend, August 26th, 2023, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Park, Johnstown. Go down there, have some fun if you're in the Johnstown area. Really, really just give them your support because quite honestly, this is something this town needs. We need more of this and less of whatever is going on around here. It's going to be great. And like I said, I'm going to try my very best to get down there. Don't know if I'm going to be able to just with the insane amount of work I have to do here at the house. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. On to this week's tales. Our first tale is going to take us back to July 10th, 1996, around 11 a.m. in Warsaw, Missouri. The woman who had this experience, she wishes to remain anonymous. She's going by Jay. So, Jay was driving down to Warsaw, Missouri to check a mailbox that she had there. She's heading west, and she gets in front of Newman's grocery store whenever she notices that black car. It's this long black car heading east. Now remember, she's heading west. This car is heading east, so they just sort of pass her. There's two men in the car. Now these two men were dressed in black suits, black glasses, older model black car. Jay is familiar, though. Jay is familiar with this experience. And the first thing she thinks is men in black. And there have been occasions where, like, Ariana and I will be out driving, and just as a joke, we'll see an older model black car, some men in black suits, men in black. But it didn't end there. An hour later, Jay, she's already picked up her mail, but now she's heading out to the Warsaw High School for some paperwork. Jay is heading on the highway. She's traveling south towards the high school. Jay looks down to her left. She's looking down the highway, and there sits the same black car facing north towards her office. That's twice now. The same car twice. Later that day, hard day's work put in, Jay finishes her work. And she heads home. Now, Jay happens to live in Sedalia, Missouri. It's a little bit of a ways away from Warsaw, Missouri. Jay arrives at her apartment. She gets there about 6:30 p.m. She looks out her second floor apartment sliding door. And in her apartment complex, the same black car backing in to the complex parking lot. An hour later, that car is gone. She just kind of files it away. Okay, that's odd. Same black car, three spots. An hour later, Jay decides she's going to visit her mother. Jay's mother doesn't live very far away at all. It's practically next door. While Jay is over there, she also goes to see an older friend who happens to live right next to her mom. And her friend goes, there were some IRS agents here. They were asking questions about you. And instantly Jay's mind goes to that long, black, older model car. But Jay had never heard anything from the IRS. Jay had never seen a UFO. Jay had never seen anything that she thought was an extraterrestrial being. 27 years have passed, and Jay still has no clue what this was about. But I have a theory. I have a theory based on somebody else's theory. These entities, they seem to love fear. They seem to feed on fear. And I did listen to this one amazing episode of the last podcast on the left, where the one host, there's three hosts, but the one host, Henry Zebrowski, came up with this theory as to why the Men in Black do what they do. Most of the UFO cases that the Men in Black get themselves involved in are not magnificent UFO cases. They're, oh, I saw a light in the sky. That's it. Oh yeah, there was like this silver ball floating. That's it. It's never really this huge ship comes down, 52 beings exit. They take him on a trip to Venus. It's never the big stuff. Almost never, I should say. I can't say never, never. But it's almost never the big stuff. It's the small stuff. And Henry Zebrowski said they didn't want to share the fear with another incident. So, if you're hungry, you'll take any fear that you can get. And I'll be honest, what do most people fear more than the paranormal? It's the IRS. I'm honestly stunned. I am honestly stunned. We've had David Grush come out. I still don't know what to think of Grush. I'll be very honest. I can't decide if this is some sort of weird psyop, if this is really a whistleblower, but Grush has come out. It's become passé at this point. It's become everyday knowledge now that Grush has come out, that we, the U.S. government, has captured crashed discs. We have biological entities. We have had incidents where the extraterrestrials killed people, harmed people. There's a piece of footage floating around right now, several pieces of footage, that seem to be the missing Malaysian airliner, MH370, being whisked away by three rotating orbs. And there are times that people are looking at it going, this is fake. But there's a lot of stuff in there that kind of clicks over to the real, the genuine aspect of it. But nobody really seems to care. I thought whenever Disclosure came that it would be amazing. It would be the O.J. Simpson case times 20. For those of you old enough to remember the hubbub that caused. But it's not. We've become so desensitized. Society, the government, the elites have beaten us down so much. The wealth is so unevenly distributed. The power of politicians and lobbyists and businesses is so vast that we are told to our face the government has UFOs, and we have been beaten down so harshly that we just go, okay, how's this going to put food on my table? Oh, it doesn't. I'm off to work. And honestly, let's be real honest. Most of us have jobs that don't really need to be there. Right? I used to work customer service. There's nothing I did that an automated system couldn't have done. And that's the way most people's jobs are. An automated system could do it. Especially if we started diverting the funds that we use to kill each other, to literally destroy one another, if we diverted the funds that we use in war and put that towards making our lives on this planet better, we'd be in a utopia. We'd be in an absolute utopia. But businesses can't get money that way. Businesses can't get power that way. War is a racket. Smedley Butler said it, and he was right. He was right almost 100 years ago, and he's right now. Do yourself a favor. This is reading. This is homework for you for this week. Go find yourself a copy of the book, War is a Racket by Smedley Butler. It's not very long. It's a quick read. It's less than 100 pages. And if you don't put down that book at the end of everything, and you're not angry, you're not disgusted with the way society is gone, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what else I can do. I hate what this world has become. And maybe this is old man ranting. It's possible. But I look around us and I see the beautifulness of the internet. I see the wonders of technology with the amazing robotics that are coming out of Boston Dynamic, the amazing progress that AI is giving us, the amazing, I've got it upstairs. I've got 4 3D printers upstairs. It's incredible technology. This is technology. 3D printing is technology that could literally shut down every factory that has slave labor or near slave labor in it. This is technology that, if perfected, could shut down every factory. Oh, Scott, what about clothing? It can be done. Oh, Scott, what about electronics? It can be done. There's a company called Nano Dimension, 3D printing electronics. It can be done. We are taking our first baby steps into three-dimensional printing. Additive manufacturing is the the nice fancy term for it. We have all the ingredients to make a utopia. And yet, we keep throwing ourselves into war because the leaders in charge tell us that we need to be at war. That's disgusting. I'm tired of living this way. Our next tale takes us back to someplace in western Alabama, just about 2 years ago. I came across this story on Humanoid Encounters on Reddit. Now, this was told by a gentleman going by the name Porkchop. Now, where Porkchop was hunting at in western Alabama, wild hogs were considered a nuisance. And believe me, they are. I've seen wild hogs do some vicious, vicious stuff. Since they're a nuisance, they are considered game. Fair game shooting year round. Now the land Porkchop was on, it wasn't his, but it was a legal hunting ground, and the owner of the land gave them permission. Explicit permission. Go, just, you see a wild hog, shoot it. Anything, any wild hog you come across, just kill it. Winter was coming up. And a lot of the time, Porkchop was posted on the back porch. And a lot of time he was out there alone. Just sitting there. Breathing in the cool woodland air, a cigar and a gun. And honestly, sounds pretty nice. This land, it wasn't clear forested land. There was a lot of scrub back there. And Porkchops and his friends only had about 20 feet of cleared off land. There was 20 feet from the porch to the tree line. And then it would go down a hill, and that scrub, that brush, would get thicker and thicker and thicker. So, Porkchop's hunting, it was just him sitting on the porch, being very quiet, and looking for the eyes of the hogs shining through that scrub brush. One night, Porkchop is sitting on the porch, and he hears rustling. He thinks it's a hog. He starts scanning the woods. And eventually, he does see a set of eyes reflecting back at him. But these are not hog's eyes. These eyes were level with Porkchop. His eyes were trying to adjust to that darkness. And then the creature started coming into view. It's tall, it's thin, long spindly arms and legs, and its entire body is jet black. Porkchop can't make any facial features out except for the eyes. This thing, though, it hits him. This thing isn't as tall as me. Because it's still a really, really far distance down that hill yet. That means that this thing, since it was partway down the hill, was likely around 10 feet tall. This 10 foot tall, lanky thing starts up the hill. It's moving towards Porkchop. He looks down at his gun, 45 caliber bullets, and he just goes, this isn't going to be enough. Pork Chop very slowly collects his things and goes back into the house. This thing, whatever it was, it didn't make any sound when it moved. Just really a slight crunch of leaves. It climbed the hill. It stopped at the tree line and then walked along the edge of it, almost as if that was the border. That's where it wasn't allowed to cross over into. This is man's domain, and this is mine, and the two will never meet. It bobbed and lurched a little bit as it walked. It kind of reminded Porkchop the way some large birds bob their head whenever they moved. Porkchop admits it was the most terrified he had been in a long time. But this wouldn't be the only encounter. Porkchop's friends and Porkchop saw it several times. It was always a fair amount of distance away from their house. Sometimes it would turn to look at them, sometimes it wouldn't. One of Porkchop's roommates walked outside and saw it right up against the porch, looking down at her. It never tried to attack anyone. Didn't even really act aggressively. So, Porkchop and his friends, they stopped being scared. They were still cautious, but they stopped being scared. They even gave this thing a nickname. They called it the Big Boy. Porkchop has told a couple of friends about this. One of them said, hey, it sounds like one of the California Dark Watchers. And Porkchop did a little bit of research, and even though it does match up quite a bit, it's the opposite side of the continent. It's one of those things where, now that this is posted on Reddit, people are goading Porkchop, go back and get footage of this thing. You see it all the time. Go get footage of it. And Porkchop has said, all right, give me a couple of weeks. He's going back out with a trail camera, and hopefully he catches some sort of video. If he gets video, oh, you know we're going to be talking about this again. David Parker was a hospice registered nurse for 17 years. And God bless him for it. I can't think of many more jobs that would be as emotionally straining. My mother was a nurse who worked with Alzheimer's patients. And I don't know if I could have done what she did. My mom also ended up in a hospice, died of cancer. And it is a different feeling there. I don't quite know how to explain. A reverence, an eeriness, a calmness. It just feels like it's a place that death visits often. And I'm not talking death happens there. I'm talking the physical embodiment of death visits often. This hospice inpatient unit that David is working at, David has 10 beds for the patients. One woman is actively in the process of dying. David passed her room, looked in on her, and she's on the side of her bed, sitting up. She's smiling. David walks on by, thinks to himself, well, she's not been doing so well. She was missing a leg. And then it hits David. You know, whenever I saw her a few seconds ago, she had both legs. David stops right where he's at. He backs up, looks in the room, and the woman's lying on the bed. The leg is still missing. And he thinks to himself, maybe what I had seen was her soul getting ready to leave her body. Because she looked very, very happy. Maybe it's like that. Maybe it was a little bit of a detach. David's shift ends. He goes home. And when he walks into his house, there she is. The patient is standing in David's hallway. She has both legs. She looks half her age and a smile on her face. A bright, happy smile. David stands there, smiles at her. And then he says, thank you. Thank you for the visit. And the patient fades away. David goes over to his phone, calls work, and says, hey, can you go check in on her? And the nurse comes back and she goes, yeah, she's passed. Rather than being scared, David felt blessed. Blessed that this patient chose to touch in and share that she passed on. I'm starting to revisit my views a bit about we're at war with the paranormal. I'm not ready to abandon that idea. Maybe we're at war with something that disguises itself as the paranormal. But as I read this, I can't really think of anything more positive that can happen to a hospice worker than this. Thank you for joining us here this week on Strange Pathways. If you are having mental health trouble dealing with a paranormal incident, reach out to the Opus Network, www.opusnetwork.com. That is O-P-U-S, network.org. I know I slipped and said .com. Please forgive me. Been a bit of a rough week. Once again, you can get that Spike Island Encounter t-shirt, link down below. Twitter.com, Pathways Strange, TikTok and Instagram, Strange Pathways Podcast, and our Facebook page. Email me directly at strangepathwaysmail@gmail.com. Go out and get yourself a copy of Chris Garcia's wonderful book, Food and Crime, Theft, Poisoning, and Murder for Food, and be sure to visit CryptoTology.com. Just some amazing, really, really funny designs. Head over to our YouTube. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. I love seeing those numbers go up, and by heavens they have. Thank you once again for joining us here on Strange Pathways. Take care of yourselves and each other.